the great island, heart and hearth of the archipelago. For 3 days they were in sight of the green hills of Havnor as they worked along its eastern coast, but they didn't come to shore. Not for many years did Ged set foot on that land or see the white towers of Havnor Greatport at the center of the world. They lay over one night at Kembermouth, the northern port of Way Island, and the next at a little town on the entrance of Felkway Bay, and the next day passed the northern cape of O, and entered the Abavanor Straits. And there they dropped sail and rowed, always with land on either side, and always within hail of other ships, great and small, merchants and traders, some bound in from the outer reaches with strange cargo after a voyage of years, and others that hopped like sparrows from isle to isle of the inmost sea. Turning southward out of the crowded straits, they left Havnor astern, and sailed between the two fair islands of Ark and Ilion, towered and terraced with cities, and then through rain and rising wind began to beat their way across the inmost sea to Roke Island. In the night, as the wind freshened to a gale, they took down both sail and mast, and the next day, all day, they rowed. The long ship lay steady in the waves and went gallantly, but the steersman at the long steering sweep in the stern looked into the rain that beat the sea and saw nothing but the rain. They went southwest by the pointing of the magnet, knowing how they went, but not through what waters. Ged heard men speak of the shoal waters north of Roke, and of the Borealis rocks to the east. Others argued that they might be far out of course by now, in the empty waters south of Camaray. And still the wind grew stronger, tearing the edges of the great waves into flying tatters of foam, and still they rowed southwest with the wind behind them. The stints at the oars were shortened, for the labor was very hard, and the younger lads were set two to an oar, and Ged took his turn with the others, as he had since they left Gaunt. And when they did not row, they bailed, for the seas broke heavy on the ship. So they labored among the waves that ran like smoking mountains under the wind, while the rain beat hard and cold on their backs, and the drum thumped through the noise of the storm like a heart thumping. And a man came to take Ged's place at the oar, sending him to the ship's master in the bow. Rainwater dripped from the hem of the master's cloak, but he stood stout as a wine barrel on his bit of decking and looked down at Ged. He asked, "Can you abate this wind, lad?"
"No, sir."
"Have you craft with iron?"
He meant, could Ged make the compass needle point their way to Roke, making the magnet follow not its north, but their need? And that skill is a secret of the sea masters, and again, Ged must say no.
"Well, then," the master bellowed through the wind and rain, "you must find some ship to take you back to Roke from Horttown. Roke must be west of us now. And only wizardry could bring us there through this sea. We must keep south."
Ged didn't like this, for he'd heard the sailors talk of Horttown, how it was a lawless place full of evil traffic, where men were often taken and sold into slavery in the South Reach. Returning to his labor at the oar, he pulled away with his companion, a sturdy Andradean lad, and heard the drum beat the stroke, and saw the lantern hung on the stern bob and flicker as the wind plucked it about, a tormented fleck of light in the rain-lashed dusk, and he kept looking to westward as often as he could in the heavy rhythm of pulling the oar. And as the ship rose on a high swell, he saw, for a moment, over the dark smoking water, a light between clouds, as it might be the last gleam of sunset. But this was a clear light, not red. His oar mate hadn't seen it, but he called it out. The steersman watched for it on each rise of the great waves, and he saw it as Ged saw it again, but shouted back that it was only the setting sun. And then Ged called to one of the lads that was bailing to take his place on the bench a minute, and made his way forward again along the encumbered aisle between the benches, and catching hold of the carved prow to keep from being pitched overboard, he shouted up to the master, "Sir, that light to the west is Roke Island."
"I saw no light," the master roared. But even as he spoke, Ged flung out his arm, pointing, and all saw the light gleam clear in the west over the heaving scud and tumult of the sea.
Not for his passenger's sake, but to save his ship from the peril of the storm, the master shouted at once to the steersman to head westward toward the light. But he said to Ged,
"Boy, you speak like a seamaster, but I tell you, if you lead us wrong in this weather, I will throw you over to swim to Roke."
Now, instead of running before the storm, they must row across the wind's way, and it was hard. Waves striking the ship abeam pushed her always south of their new course, and rolled her and filled her with water, so that bailing must be ceaseless, and the oarsmen must watch lest the ship rolling should lift their oars out of water as they pulled, and so pitch them down among the benches. It was nearly dark under the storm clouds, but now and again they made out the light to the west, enough to set course by, and so struggled on. At last the wind dropped a little, and the light grew broad before them, and they rowed on, and they came, as it were, through a curtain between one oar stroke and the next, running out of the storm into a clear air where the light of after sunset glowed in the sky and on the sea, and over the foam-crested waves they saw not far off a high, round, green hill, and beneath it a town built on a small bay where boats lay at anchor, all in peace. The steersman, leaning on his long sweep, turned his head and called, "Sir, is this true land or a witchery?"
"Give her, she goes, you witless wooden head. Row, you spineless slave sons. That's Thwill Bay and the Knoll of Roke, as any fool could see. Row!"
So, to the beat of the drum, they rowed wearily into the bay. There it was still, so that they could hear the voices of people up in the town, and a bell ringing, and only far off the hiss and roaring of the storm. Clouds hung dark to north and east and south, a mile off all about the island. But over Roke, stars were coming out, one by one, in a clear and quiet sky. Chapter 3. The School for Wizards. Ged slept that night aboard Shadow, and early in the morning parted with those first sea comrades of his, they shouting good wishes cheerily after him as he went up the docks. The town of Thwill is not large, its high houses huddling close over a few steep, narrow streets.